You to join us for Monday Manna Bible Study, Anointed Temple of Praise, Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. We are here and we are waiting for you.
Well, we trust that you've had a great day today, and every day that God gives us an opportunity to see, we know that it's a day that he's made, and so we ought to have a boldness and a determination to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're getting ready to close out February, Lady Kim, but God is still keeping and sustaining us. Here it is, the 26th day of February, and there are 29 days in this month.
Sleepy.
And so it doesn't normally happen that way. I think every other 6 years or so. I don't know when it does, but we praise God for how he's continuing to provide for us in the midst of everything that's going on in our world and in our community. And we're thankful for him giving us another opportunity to lift him up. So let us know you're getting a clear signal and that the sound is coming in fine and that you can hear us. As we prepare for tonight's study, we're going to be in the 9th chapter of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 9. And there are approximately 24 verses there, and we're going to go through that and then see what God has in store for us tonight. We always, when we read scripture, we want to make sure that we don't allow it to just be pages in the Old Testament on a piece of paper, but that we make it relevant to our situations and to our circumstances. And what we'll find here in Leviticus, a continuation of leadership and how Moses and Aaron, they have already, Aaron and his sons have already been consecrated, and now they're finding out some of their other duties and responsibilities. And so the work doesn't stop once you have been consecrated or dedicated or commissioned. That's a sign to move forward and to press. And so there's a blessing in our pressing. Isn't that right, Lady
Kim? That's right. Amen.
And so we praise God that once we have acknowledged the call, once we have responded and then have been ordained, that we know that we don't sit back in splendor isolation and say, look what God's done. No, we continue to do the work and we continue to press forward even at a greater capacity. Well, let's have prayer, and then we'll come back to all of that, and we praise God for each of you on the call tonight and others who will join us. Let's have prayer. God, we're extremely grateful for this day, and we do thank you for our lives. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence. We thank you for how you are yet blessing us, even in spite of ourselves.
Yes, God.
We thank you, dear Lord, that our faith is going to increase tonight based upon your word, where you say that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, God, we decree and declare that we will be better as a result of spending this time together.
Yes.
And we thank you for each person that's going to participate and be a part of this virtual study. And we pray that needs will be met, that lives will be changed, that someone would even be delivered and set free, and that answers will be received, and that you will continue to order our steps and lead us in the way in which you would have us to go. So we love you tonight, we honor you, and we bless your name. It's in the name of Jesus, even the risen Christ, we pray. And those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
Give God a thumbs up or a heart amen. There. Let us know that you're in agreement with this prayer and that you believe in God to do something extraordinary in your situation.
Amen.
Well, Lady Kim, yesterday was the last Sunday in this month. And of course, each fourth Sunday in February, we celebrate at ATOP, Big Mama Murray's Soul Food Sampling. And we had the awesome opportunity to have in our midst Dr. Michael Wesley and the greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church and those who travel with him from Birmingham. They brought a bus in and many drove their cars. And an exciting service it was. We had it set up so that we wouldn't have to break down after the service. It was almost like a banquet kind of situation. And I tell you, not only was the word nourishment for our spirits, the food was nourishment for our bodies.
Yes, Lord.
Wouldn't you agree with me
on
that?
Amen. It was awesome.
And so Dr. Wesley came in rare fashion and form as he opened up the word of the Lord and he began to share with us out of his heart. and out of what God had would have for us. He used a very interesting title in his sermon when he talked about where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? And he looked at 2 Kings, that 7th chapter, and really kind of focused on those first few verses there, 3 and 4. But I think the way he put it and the way he analyzed the situation and circumstances that we find ourselves in, that question is being raised all across the country. It's not only a corporate question, but it's an individual question that many, no doubt, are grappling with in these tough times that we find ourselves in.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
That's right.
He talked about even in relationships, people get to a place where they say, where do we go from here? I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes things just get to a point where you have to reassess the situation and reanalyze, if you will, what you're doing and why you're doing it. But in this text, we see that it was in regards to the four leopards, the four leprous men that represents really, and he tried to make it transparent and make it live for us that they represent all of us because it's a depiction of the universal sin that we find in our world today. And what they were faced with was almost like a death sentence mm-hmm. because they had been separated from family. They had been set aside and they were sitting at the gate and they had a very difficult choice in which to make. And they, one of them said, well, if we sit here, we're going to die. Mm-hmm. And if we go into the camp of the enemy, surely they're going to kill us. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think, Lady Kim, we find ourselves sitting and observing how we're going to respond to what our issues might be. We might not have a leprosy in terms of a skin disease or something that separates us from our family and from our friends. But in a real sense, there are different forms of leprosy that all of us have to deal with from time to time.
Amen. Some form of separation.
That's right. That's right.
And Dr. Wesley said, you know, when we're looking at the world around us, when we look at the election, you know, the two people that we have to choose from, the question is, where do we go from here?
That's right.
You know, the Biden administration has not lived up to what they have promised. And we know that the Trump administration, we know what kind of leadership, divisive leadership that brings. Where do we go from here?
Absolutely.
People have gained degrees. They have, and they can't find jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, in their whatever they receive their degree. And where do we go from here? Where do they go from there? You know, so he brought out a lot of good questions when he said, where do we go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense of a word, he was relating that to those lepers and how they said, well, if we sit here, you know, are we going to die?
We're going to die.
If we go into the camp of the enemy?
Surely they're going to kill us.
They're going to kill us. We're going to die there. So what choice do we have? Where we go from here?
That's right. So go ahead.
And he talked about how there was a famine that was brought on by war.
Mm-hmm.
The war was because of their disobedience.
Okay.
That God sent the Syrian army, and the Syrian army had cut off the food supply.
All right.
So that's why the people were struggling, you know. And, you know, unthinkable things were being sold.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about dung being sold so people can eat it. And we know what dung is.
Tell us what it is. Somebody might not know.
And he tickled me yesterday. He said something about dog bookie. I think he said that dog bookie.
He went old school.
or sheep dung, you know, sheep bookie. So, and even a mule's head, a donkey's head.
Oh, that started looking good when you're stressed with a famine and no food and no ways of getting any food. They were going to do what was necessary in order to be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything started looking like a prime rib steak for them. And so they were bidding and they were even talking about how they were going to go about making do with what they had.
Right. And he even talked about the two women who agreed to eat their children.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the one lady said, you know, we're going to kill and eat my son today, and tomorrow we'll kill and eat your son. And they killed the one child, and then the next day when it was time for the other child, the mother went and hid her baby.
That's so, right, she reneged.
Yeah, so, you know, it was a terrible time. And so he related that to today, that we're also in a terrible time. Not as terrible as that time where we
right.
have to eat a dog bookie. I got
Dove Dookie.
Dove Dookie. That's what he said. Dove Dookie.
The what?
But, yeah, Ooh. But we are in some serious times here, you know. We're in trouble. The family is in trouble. The church is in trouble. You know, and we need help. We need some help. So where do we go from here?
Right.
You know, we could sit here and do nothing. We could go into the city and die. The camp of the enemy. He said, is where God is.
Mm.
So that's where they decided to go, into the camp of the enemy.
That's right. That's right. And to their amazement, once they got there, they were shocked because it was just the opposite of what they were anticipating. They thought that the army was going to be present and kill them when they entered the gates. They got there. Nobody was there.
Nobody was there.
All the food was at their availability. All of the things that had been stored up. And I think part of that, Lady Kim, has to do with how he was emphasizing how we need to weigh our options.
Right.
And how important it is for us not just to take what at face value, the condition that we're in, but we have to make a move. We got to bust a move. We got to do something.
Do something.
And the safety and the ark of God in the church is where we find the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And he phrased it a little different, but he was really emphasizing the point that that's where we really get that change that happens in our lives. That's how we really get an opportunity to discover, and for some, rediscover the goodness and the grace of God.
Amen.
And so we've got to make our way to the church. We got to make our way to the camp of God so that we can find the relief and the release from things that hinder and prevent us from being who God has called us to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
And another thing I got from that is God is everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he's even in the camp of the enemy.
That's right.
You know, but we have to be bold enough and willing to go and find what God has for us.
Mm-hmm.
But the major thing is we have to get up and move.
That's
and
right.
do something.
That's right.
You know, and he said that when they went at night.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, we're afraid, you know, but things are you know, concealed at night.
Okay.
You know, their leprosy was concealed. They went at night so people couldn't tell that they were lepers, couldn't tell that their hair was disheveled, couldn't tell that their skin was diseased. They went at night. But like you said, when they got to the camp, they found nobody there,
right?
You know, and so they were able to eat good and get new clothes and get, you know, change of clothes and take in spoils. So God is within the camp of the enemy. We just have to be willing to go there and find God.
Wow, that's good. So it was a great day yesterday. Dr. Wesley did an outstanding job, as he always does. And we're just so grateful for the relationship that we have and for them to travel. He said they still had their two services on yesterday, and his son preached. But they brought the 90 people easily with them, and the choir did an excellent job. Our praise team, of course, set the tone, and the service was high. It was a great time. We had quite a few visitors outside of those who had came from Birmingham. And then, of course, my family was here, our family with my sister and my niece and my, what is
great-niece?
Great-niece, Cheryl. What do we
call
it?
Cheryl.
Yeah.
She's our adopted niece.
Yeah, and so it was a great time, and the food was off the chain.
Yes, it was.
And Lady Kim, before I even start talking about that, I just want to applaud the workers. Man, I'm telling you, we have some
amazing
some boots on the ground that I believe will rival any working ministry across the country that I know of, because when it comes time to serve, when it comes time to really step up, mm-hmm. they work all day Saturday and all day Sunday, and even Sunday afternoon we had another service. So just a word of appreciation to those who organize, those who put things in place, the culinary ministry, the setup, the breakdown. They were taking the trash out. They were cleaning up. They were getting everything in order. And the food was so delicious.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
So
yes.
This time we went around through the line to pick out what we wanted, yes. rather than having them to set our food out. Yes. And
we did that last year too.
I believe so.
The first time. That's why. Yes. Most of the time they would bring, you know, dishes and plates and sit them on the table so that we could serve ourselves.
Right.
But, you know, a lot of times we miss out on some good stuff that was back there because it was just too much to put out on the table.
That's right.
So we would go through the line first and choose what we wanted to eat on our plates. And I'm telling you, oxtails. Oops. Was I supposed to tell that?
You saw right after.
Dr. Butler fixed some oxtails. I'm telling
you. Dr. Butler fixed those oxtails?
Yes, Dr. Butler cooked those oxtails.
I had to put them in another order, a special order.
They were off the chain. And I talked to her today. She told me where she got them from because I told her where.
You had seen them.
I saw some at Super Low. Four little oxtails in a pack for $22. I was like, oh, my Lord. But she said she got a pack that has several in them from Costco.
What?
Costco. So, you want oxtails? Go to Costco.
Now, you're not working for Costco. Are they going to give you some points for this advertisement commercial?
I wish they would.
I know, right? But everything was delicious all the way from the, barbecue, I had oxtails, and I was sampling this Big Mama Murray soul food sampling. I had a plate full of vegetables, and then I had some neck bones. I tell you, there's only one way to eat a neck bone, in my opinion. You can't do it with a spoon. You can't do it with a knife. You can't do it with a fork. You just got to grab your hand and go for it. And if you don't suck that little white meat out of there, you haven't really had
a chance. There was none because I took it all out.
It was none in there, but you have to go ahead and go on in. Somebody knows what I'm talking about in terms of eating those
neck bones. I fixed the neck bones for Big Mama Murray. So
were those smoked neck bones?
I had 2 pans of smoked neck bones and 2 pans of fresh neck bones.
The question is, did you leave any here at the house? Okay, all right. So if I had known that, I just knew I had mine set aside so when I got home that there would be something left. But they had so much food, Lady Kim.
There was so much food.
And go ahead.
And there was a lot of food left.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So hats off to those who are part of the culinary team. I see Sister Carolyn Holmes, and she stayed, and they even after was trying to get everything situated and getting everything in place because we had another service at 3:00. But hats off to the ATOP team. Y'all did an excellent job yesterday. And I tell you, it was great in terms of the service, the hospitality. And the group from Birmingham, they love to come, if nothing else,
to
eat the food. That's all they talk about. And they had some new people to come this year. And man, they were talking about the food even before we got through the service good, you know. So everything was excellent. Everything was done in decency and in order. And the team responded in an excellent fashion in terms of their hospitality and making our guests feel right at home. And so we're excited that we have that kind of support around us. From all the way from our administrative and executive pastors, as well as our congregational care pastor. And she's got a little, she's got a cooking thumb.
But is that what you call it?
I'm just thumb? Making up something now, but excellent job. And thank you so very much for all of you who responded. Miss Amelia and the crew.
Yes, amazing
the servers,
job. Amazing job. And everybody, I've been looking at some of the pictures and I wonder where all the ATOP people were at. Y'all were back there in the back fixing stuff and
working.
And yes, and thank you all so much.
I'm telling
you, we have the most amazing group of people, of servers, servant leaders.
That's right.
We just thank God for you.
All right. Well, I think also, Lady Kim, that even as the Lord added to the church on yesterday,
yes,
we ought not ever take for granted that people might be coming in a broken situation or in a need for God in their lives. And so that's a sacred time for us, and there ought to be in any church, because sometimes you just have to ask the right question. They might come down for prayer, but they're really trying to make a statement of how they want to be in relationship with God.
Right.
And
right.
If you don't pose the question, then they'll go back to their seat with a prayer, and that's fine.
Mm.
But they're still missing out on what they really need, and that's a relationship with God.
That's right. That's right.
What was the young man's conversation like when you were talking to him?
Deacon Whitmore brought the young man to me and mm-hmm. said he was asking for prayer.
Okay.
And when I asked him, did he have a specific prayer request, he said, just pray for his strength and, you know, for direction. And so I did that, and then upon ending the prayer, I asked him, did he know Christ
mm-hmm.
as his
mm-hmm.
personal Savior?
Right.
And he said, yes, that he had been baptized. And he said, I'm a member of the church. And I thought he meant Anointed Temple of Praise. So to clarify that, I said, are you a member of this church? Are you a member of ATOP? He
mm-hmm.
said, no, I'm not. He said, but I want to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so do you want to join this church? Do you want to rededicate your life? And he said, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so that's when I kind of flagged you down, because you all were getting ready to move on to the offering.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he said he wanted to commit to being a member of ATOP.
That's great.
So to God be the glory.
And so that's the kind of dialogue that has to happen, and we don't have to force it, but we have to be led by the Spirit. And we have to be sensitive to when people come for prayer. There's probably something else on the coattail that they are indeed really searching
right.
for. And if we don't pose that question, or we don't kind of help direct them through that process, they can go back in the same condition that mm-hmm. they were in, when they can really get more if we respond to them in a way where it leads them to a relationship.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
And so God was good on yesterday.
That's right. That's
From the time we started until the time we ended on last night when we got home.
Yes,
so
that's right.
It was amazing.
Young
Even
Actors
the Young
Guild.
Actors Guild
right.
Program come Sunday morning. It
Excellent.
Was an awesome program.
That's right.
Excellent job that Miss Christy Chandler and her team are doing with Young Actors Guild, the performing and theatrical arts
mm-hmm.
Program for young people. They did an awesome
job. Those
some
amazing kids, huh?
Yes, amazing.
Talented.
Very talented.
Gifted.
She brings out the talent.
That's right.
In those young people. And it was amazing. The singing was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The guest psalmist that she had, the dancing and the speaking parts,
yeah.
just amazing.
All of the band was off the chain.
Yes.
So
yes.
We praise God for an amazing day on yesterday. And I thank each of you for participating, and those of you who were able to come back for the afternoon service. We are grateful for that. But Lady Kim, we're in the ninth chapter of Leviticus, and this is really a continuation of what is happening here with Aaron and his sons, and how Moses is kind of directing and leading them through the process. They have gone through all of the different offerings, and they have established the order in which God wants things presented. And one of the things that's interesting about these various offerings is that there were specific details that they had to follow. And they were had to be very strategic about the way in which they cut the animals and the parts that they would take out, and the parts that they would leave for the priest And so I think this part of it really talks about the priestly ministry and how they have been ordained. They have gone through the consecration. They have acknowledged their call. They have moved forward in terms of what they need to do as a priest. And now God is establishing them for the ministry that's about to start.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. So the priests, in other words, are going to begin their work.
Right.
And all Israel is being asked to meet at the tabernacle or the tent of meeting.
Okay.
And God's glory is going to appear to Israel in the form of fire, fire and from above. And God's fire is going to consume the offering that the priest offered.
Okay. So there are only 24 verses here in this ninth chapter. For those of you just joining us, I see we have some of our friends from Birmingham who are on, excuse me, tonight. And so grateful for for that. And last week you were coughing.
I don't start. I got it from you.
All right.
And then you passed it to me, and now you got it back.
Huh? Is that what you're doing? Tit for tat. So you gave it back to me. Then.
Okay.
No, but we're grateful for those who own tonight, and for those who travel, and for those who participated. And we're looking forward. I'm going to talk with Pastor Wesley this week about some dates for us to go back down and what we're going to do and how that's going to look going forward.
Okay. Sounds good.
So let's maybe read. You want to read half of that, or how you want to break this out?
Half of 24 is 12.
Okay.
So we'll read the first 12 verses of Leviticus, the ninth chapter. The heading here talks about the priestly ministry begins. Okay. It came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said to Aaron, take for yourselves a young bull as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. Verse 3, and to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish, as a burnt offering. Also a bull and a ram as peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a grain offering mixed with oil, for today the Lord will appear to you. So they brought what Moses commanded before the tabernacle of meeting, and all of the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded you to do. Mm-hmm. And the glory of the Lord will appear to you.
The glory.
And Moses said to Aaron, go to the altar, offer your sin offering and your burnt offering, and make atonement for yourselves and for the people. Offer the offering of the people and make atonement for them as the Lord commanded. Verse 8. Aaron, therefore, went to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. Then the sons of Aaron brought the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured the blood at the base of the altar. But the fat, the kidney, and the fatty lobe from the liver of the sin offering he burned on the altar as the Lord had commanded Moses. The flesh and the hide he burned with fire outside the camp. And he killed the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented to him the blood which he sprinkled all around the altar.
Okay. That's the first 12 verses of the ninth chapter of Leviticus. And it's really giving us clarity in terms of how the priest's work is getting started and how the glory of God appears to the children of Israel. And so they are going through a very unique and specific as well as concise process in terms of what God will require of them. Mm-hmm. It was on the eighth day, so they had already been consecrated for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't get too deep into the significance of that, but it had to be probably a time of purification as well as a time of consecration after they had been ordained for the work. Mm-hmm. And so seven, of course, is the number of completion. Mm-hmm. And here it is, the eighth day now, and they are being summoned. Moses summons Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. Mm-hmm. That's what that first verse says. Mm-hmm. So anything else that you have there that kind of captures what's happening in these first 12 verses?
No, that was pretty much summed it up. You know, and I was recalling, you know, the different types of offerings and okay. what they were for. You know, we talked about the grain offering and the fellowship offering, and the those were the two types of offerings to say thank you to God. Mm-hmm. And then there were offerings also to say, I'm sorry, the burnt offering and the purification offering and the restitution offering. You know, and they offered up the lifeblood of an animal, and the animal symbolically died in the person's place.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, they talk about offering up goats, mm-hmm. And you hear the term scapegoat, mm-hmm. and that means that they use a goat, you know, in place of the person's
transgressions and sins.
Yes. So
that's interesting. And so that's where that whole terminology scapegoat came
yes.
from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something in place of, and not necessarily the actual person or thing that represents that.
Yes. Let me find it, because I read about it in but I want to be precise.
Okay. All right. So we're in the ninth chapter of Leviticus, and Lady Kim is talking about how the relevance of these offerings of the sacrifices that were presented, and how it was symbolic of them using that as atonement for their sins.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then it talked about, you know, a scapegoat was a goat who took the sins of the Israelites.
Okay.
And it was set free into the wilderness.
Is that right?
So when they set it free into the wilderness, that's what it meant by a scapegoat.
Okay.
Because the
okay.
goat was used as in place of their sins.
Okay. And so we know that the ultimate sacrifice was made on the cross.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we no longer have to present goats and calves and doves and pigeons.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
And Romans reminds us that we need to present our bodies as living sacrifices. That's what Paul says. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service.
Right.
By being not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So I think somebody said last week, that's the inside job.
Mm-hmm.
And God is, sometimes people get so caught up in the outward ceremonial process, and nothing really happens on the inside.
Right.
And
right.
so God is looking for a consecration of the heart, as well as a circumcision of one's heart.
Amen.
And once that happens, then it represents the change that has taken place inwardly, and it should be manifest outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
And so our relationship with God should be of such that our behavior should match our belief.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, we're not bearing the fruit of what we believe, then it's evident by the tree is known by the fruit that it bears. It's evident that something didn't go right on the inside.
Mm.
And so I'm not trying to bring judgment or cause anybody, but it's an awareness. I think one of my friends said, we're called to be fruit inspectors.
Mm.
And so that's the way we can determine whether somebody has actually, we're not questioning your salvation, but we're just inspecting your fruit.
Well, that's good right
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if you don't have any fruit.
That's right.
If you don't bear any fruit,
I believe that was Dr. Holmes who told me that.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
If we don't bear any fruit, then something, you know, we need to inspect that tree closely.
That's right.
You know, we have to be careful because Jesus passed by the fig tree that wasn't bearing any fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And he made it wither up and die.
That's right.
It was good for nothing. It was useless. If you got a fruit tree that's not bearing any fruit, what good is it?
That's right.
So if you're not bearing any good fruit,
wow.
What good are you?
Mm-hmm. So some trees do bear bad fruit as well as good fruit. Is that what the indication is?
Well, I don't know. Can a tree bear bad fruit?
Well, I think in relationship to how we present ourselves and our behavior, if it's not aligning with what we believe and what we confess, then we can actually bear bad fruit.
Mm.
Because what goes in comes out. It's the heart. What goes into a man? How does that saying go? What goes into you're gonna
it's
help?
It's not what goes into the man that defiles. It's what comes out. Is that?
I think that's it. We have to look that up to make sure we're clear on.
Somebody help us with it.
I know, right?
Yeah, help us.
But that's part of what happens when the transformation takes place. That's where I'm going with that. And so if you're continually doing things that's not right or not pleasing in God's eyesight, that can be considered bad fruit.
Okay.
You follow?
I got you.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a tree is indeed known by the fruit that it bears. And sometimes you can see some corrupt fruit and you know that there's something that's not connected or something that's not right there.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right. Well, we're moving right through and we can this done. This is a short chapter. Mm-hmm. There are only 24 verses here in this ninth chapter of Leviticus. And Lady Kim has already read the first 12 verses. And we're now focusing in on the priestly ministry of Aaron and his sons and how Moses is still instructing and directing and giving clarity to the process that he's received from God in terms of how all of this must happen. And we've also discussed about how Aaron and his sons, they acknowledged their call and they made the response to their call, and then the ordination took place. Sometimes we misplace those steps in terms of we want public acknowledgement before we have actually heard from God.
Hmm.
Because we see things sometimes, what people might be doing, and think that that's something that we can just do. But no, in this call, God has to call you in order for it to be a manifestation of his presence and him giving you what you need and not you trying to do it for your own selfish goals and your own selfish ambition. So we're in the ninth chapter. You ready to get started, Lady Kim? Or you're trying to pull up something
else? Excuse me. I was looking for that scripture.
Okay.
It says there are seven things that defile a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the one.
It's something about what goes into the heart.
It says those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart.
Okay.
And they defile a man.
Uh-huh.
For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts.
Right.
Murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man.
Okay. And so if that heart is corrupt, then it's going to produce evil thoughts and evil desires. But if that heart is pure and right before God, that's part of where it says that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And so God wants to see a heart that's changed, a heart that's readily moving in the right direction, mm-hmm, toward pleasing him.
Right.
And then we'll see the indication is the fruit that your life bears. It comes from the righteousness of one's heart that, mm-hmm, has been changed.
Amen.
Yeah.
And what I was reading came from Matthew, the 15th chapter and the 11th verse.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. Let's go back to Leviticus. Are there any comments there? Any questions?
I didn't see any.
Okay. Let's go and we'll pick it back up at verse number 13.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Of the ninth chapter. And then are you going to read that through the...
through the end? Through 24?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Leviticus 9:13. And they brought the burnt offering to him piece by piece. And the head and Aaron burned them upon the altar. And he washed the entrails and the legs and burned them with the burnt offering on the altar. Then Aaron presented the people's offering and took the goat of the sin offering, which was for the people, and killed it and offered it for sin as he did in the first sin offering. Mm-hmm. That's in Hebrews 2:16 and 17. And he presented the burnt offering and offered it according to the ordinance. Verse number 17, and Aaron presented the cereal offering and took a handful of it and burned it on the altar in addition to the burnt offering of the morning. He also killed the bull and the ram and the sacrifice of peace offerings for the people. And Aaron's sons presented to him the blood which he dashed upon the altar round about. And the fat of the bull and of the ram and the fat tail and that which covers the entrails and the kidneys and the lobes of the liver. And they put the fat upon the breast, and Aaron burned the fat upon the altar. But the breast and the right thigh Aaron waved for a wave offering before the Lord as Moses commanded. Then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them, and he came down from the altar after offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offerings. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah cloud, appeared to all the people as promised. That was in Leviticus 9 and 6.
Okay.
Then there came a fire out from the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces.
Wow, wow. So this really kind of brings to a summary this ninth chapter. And we see how God is instructing Moses and Aaron and how they are responding to that which God is doing.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think one of the things that really kind of jumps off the page here, after they had received the offering and after they had gone through the process, then God showed up to, in a real sense, to confirm what had happened. And it says, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed the altar, the burnt offering, that's 24, and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and they fell to their face. So the response to what God is doing and what he's done and what he's presenting to us in the present sense, there should be some kind of response on our behalf, mm-hmm, to what God is doing in our lives.
That's right.
And mm-hmm, so this particular instance says that when the people saw it, they shouted and they fell to their faces. And so They were in an attitude of appreciation and gratitude for what God has done. And sometimes when God does a thing in us, there ought to be a shout that comes forth.
Right.
And there ought to be a humbleness of our outward appearance and appreciation to what God is doing.
Amen. And you know, sometimes God does something so amazing. That's mm-hmm, when that shout should come forward. You know. I've lived long enough to see God's hand move in miraculous ways, not only in our lives, but in the lives of our children.
That's right.
You know, and whenever you see the move of God, that ought to cause you to shout.
Mm-hmm.
Not inwardly.
Okay.
You know,
it ought to outward. Be outward expression.
Outward expression. Okay. An outward shout.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. It ought to be like fire shut up in your bones.
Hallelujah.
You can't hold your peace. Any way to get it out, you ought to let it out. And you ought not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
And sometimes people are ashamed to be expressive in their appreciation to what God has done. And there are some things that God does for us that we ought not try to contain it, nor ought we try to hold our peace.
Amen.
But we ought to go ahead and be expressive, because somewhere I read is that when we get to heaven, there's going to be a time of shouting, dancing, praising, and a celebration is going to take place.
All the time.
All the time. And so we need to prepare now for what to expect in the future.
Amen.
And so if we hold our peace, the Bible says Jesus is not satisfied with that. He'll even go and get some rocks to cry out. But as I say all the time, I'm not going to let any rocks cry out for me. For when I think of his goodness,
hallelujah,
and all he's done for me, my soul immediately cries out. I've got to tell the Lord, thank you. And sometimes people look at you strange or look at you funny. But no, when God has done something in your life and you know that it was nobody but God, you ought not let no rocks cry out for you. You ought to be expressive in your testimony and in your praise and in your worship to God. And you're not putting on airs. You're not trying to impress anybody, but you're just thankful and you're grateful for what the Lord has done. God has been so good to us.
Oh, yes.
He's been kind and merciful. We made it through COVID, and we made it through all of the other issues. And we here we are still clothed in our right
mind.
And we come to the house of the Lord and act as if we don't have a reason to give God praise. No, we have a right, we have a reason,
yes,
and we have a responsibility to lift our hands and tell the Lord, thank you, because God is keeping us.
Yes, he is.
And so we have to be grateful for what God is doing and thanking him for sustaining us in the midst of all of this craziness in our world.
It's crazy
out there.
Yes, it is.
And we think it's just confined to Memphis many times. But no, if you do a check across the landscape of the country, you'll find that people are struggling and straining and trying to make sense of it all. Mm-hmm. But if it had not been for the Lord on our side,
oh my God.
Thank you, Lord. Somebody tell me, where would we be?
Thank you, Lord.
And so I thank him. And you know, just like I do, those of you who are watching and those of you who are on this virtual call, that you have seen your friends, you have seen your neighbors, you have gone to funerals, you have grieved, and some of us are still grieving. But God, and somebody got it right there, somebody said, but God. And so we ought to thank God. We ought to bless his name every opportunity that we have, because we know and you're convinced in your mind and in your spirit that it was nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
God did it. God made a way. God opened the door. I feel something
hallelujah
in the room. God closed the door. God provided. God did it. It was nobody but God.
Nobody but God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
If we can take anything from this lesson, it should be that when we experience God, when we experience God's presence and we've tasted of his goodness, then all we need to do is shout for joy.
My.
Shout the victory, because God is amazing.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Don't forget to tell God thank you. Somebody remember the sermon I preached.
That's right.
About
that's right. You got to go back.
Yes. Go back and tell God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Hallelujah. They tasted of his holiness and they fell down. These people, the Israelites, fell down on their faces.
That's right.
And that's the proper response that we need to include when we experience the presence of God. It includes both joy and reverence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Joy and reverence.
That's
so
right.
There is much in God's presence.
So we need
to get into God's presence sometime.
Thank you, God.
Go beyond the veil.
That's
Give
right.
God thanks and praise. You know, sometimes when we just routinely just say thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
But if we really get into a thankful mode,
mm-hmm,
and go beyond
something's gonna happen.
Something's going to happen.
That's
you
right.
Get in the presence of God, hallelujah, something happens.
That's right. Somebody give God some thumbs up right there. And if you're thankful, tell the Lord thank you, because somebody touch and agree and believe with us. Because somebody's on this call tonight, Lady Kim, they are holding back on their expression of praise and gratitude and appreciation for what God has done. But listen, I'm telling you, that's what opens the door to the things that God yet has in store. The Bible says that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, neither have they entered into the heart of men the things that God has in store for those who love him.
Yes,
and
Lord.
So when you love somebody, you ought to at least be expressive in your appreciation for what they have done for you.
That's right.
And so I believe that that's the gateway, Lady Kim. I believe that helps unlock some of the things that God wants to release on our behalf when we humbly tell the Lord thank you, and when we come before his presence. The Bible said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving,
yes,
and into his courts with praise. And we ought to bless his name. I will bless the Lord at all times.
Yes,
his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's what the word says. And let us exalt his name together.
Amen.
And when you think of his goodness,
yes,
it'll cause you to thank him. And you know, if you're thinking about what the Lord has done, something ought to erupt on the inside that will cause a thank you to come forth.
Amen. And one of the things that we can be thankful for is that we don't have to burn calves and bulls.
That's
and
right.
Bring a sin offering and a grain offering and a peace offering to
That's
a
right.
priest to intercede or on our behalf.
That's right.
We can go straight to God our Father.
That's right.
Because of Jesus and what he did on the cross, we can go straight to Jesus, and God will forgive us of all unrighteousness
Isn't
if we
something?
Just ask him.
Isn't that something? So that's the lesson for tonight. We have been in the 9th chapter of Leviticus. Next week, we're going to go to the 10th chapter. But we're getting ready to close out tonight. If there are any prayer requests, any praise reports, or anything that you want us to be aware of that we can touch and agree with you around in terms of what you're expecting God to do in your situation, we are strong in prayer at ATOP, and that's one of the foundational principles from which the church was founded. We know that the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. And so we have intercessors that's pleading your case and agreeing with you in terms of what you're expecting God to do in your situation.
Amen. All right. We want to pray for Sister Emma Burnett and her family and the loss of her sister-in-law. The arrangements will be in Chicago on this Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we want to lift up Sister Emma and her family.
Okay. Any other requests that you have or any coming through?
You know, I have several on my prayer request list. We want to lift up our son-in-law, Clebrion Richmond, and our daughter, Tiffany Richmond, and the loss of Clebrion's father, George Oliver. The arrangements are still not finalized yet. Mm-hmm. I asked this afternoon, and they're not. We got word that Elder Paxton lost an uncle.
That's right.
And his uncle will be funeralized in Georgia this coming Friday. And so we want to lift up Elder Paxton. We want to lift up Sister Cynthia Elliott in the loss of her sister,
That's right.
Gwendolyn Garnett, in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So West Palm Beach, Florida, her sister lives. So we want to lift her up in our prayers. And of course, we just mentioned Sister Emma Burnett losing her sister-in-law. Amen. And then Brother Al Blank says, pray for his Aunt Jean Alexander in St. Louis. She had a stroke last week. So we're praying for his Aunt Jean Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing it down so I can keep it on our prayer list. And then we want to lift up Mother Roxy Briggs, who is still in Baptist Collierville, and Mother Elizabeth Hughes is in St. Francis Bartlett, and her visitation is being restricted at this time. We want to continue to lift up Brother Charles Reynolds. Mm-hmm. He's still in Baptist Hospital. And, of course, again, Sister Jean Alexander, lifting her. And then we want to lift up our daughter, Tierra Murray, as she's pursuing her doctoral degree and keeps hitting roadblocks.
A couple of snags.
So we just pray that the wall of petition be broken down and the roadblocks, the roadblocks be moved to the side so that she can go forth with that
dissertation and everything, right?
Yeah, it's not her dissertation. She has to do a case study. So we need for that case study to be approved so she can go forward with that process. All right. So we just thank God for Sister Tysha Weston. We thank God for you and pray for DeMario and Decaden. And the Gaia Harris. We want to pray for them all. All right. Well, let us go to God in prayer on tonight as we get ready to close. God, we come before you tonight. You've heard each prayer request, God. You know each person's name that we called out. You know their issue and their condition. We know that you know the bereaved and the hurt that they feel at the loss of their loved one. We ask that you would give them peace and comfort right now, God, in the name of Jesus, as they grieve the loss of loved ones. We pray for the family of Clebrion Richard. We pray for the family of Christopher Paxton. We pray for Sister Cynthia Elliott. We pray for Sister Emma Burnett. We ask, oh God, that you would just continue to reach down your hand of love and tender grace and mercy as they grieve the loss of loved ones. And then, God, we need your healing power.
Yes, God.
To go forth in Sister Jean Alexander, Mother Roxy Briggs, Mother Elizabeth Hughes, Brother Charles Reynolds. Touch them right now, God, and heal them as only you can. And then all the others that are on our sick and shut-in list, you know them, God, one by one. We ask that you would touch Sister Elnora Buchanan, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you would also look after the grandchildren of the Taylor family, God. All the Harris children need you right now, God. Give them direction and directives
Hallelujah.
In their lives, oh
Hallelujah.
God. Put people in their path that will help lead and guide them in the way of righteousness. And we thank you, God. God, we pray for Tierra Murray and that impending case study, God. Make the crooked places straight. Bring the high mountains low. Move every roadblock. Move every mountain, God, on her behalf, oh God, so that she might be approved for that project, that case study, and move forth expediently.
Yes,
we thank
God.
You today, God, that
you
can do anything but fail.
Hallelujah.
So we trust and believe, oh God, that you're going to work on the behalf of every prayer request that has gone up tonight.
Thank you, God.
And we love you, God.
Mm-hmm.
We bless you, Lord.
We bless you.
We thank you for the work and the dedication of those at Anointed Temple of Praise who worked so diligently this past weekend, God. We ask that you would pour into them tonight, God. Restore their strength, oh God, in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
and we thank you for their love and compassion,
Hallelujah.
Oh God, that they show to our visitors. We thank you for safe travels for all of those who came from Birmingham, oh God, for allowing them to make it here and return safely. We pray a special blessing on Dr. Wesley and the Greater Shiloh Church family.
Thank you, God.
We pray a special blessing on our pastor, Dr. Thomas Murray, and the Anointed Temple of Praise family. God, we ask that you would continue to stretch your hand of grace and mercy towards us. And we love you, oh God. We bless you and we honor you, oh God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Now, oh God, as we go into the rest of this week, we ask that you would be with us, watch over us, oh God, until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks and praise. Let everybody
amen.
Say amen.
Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. And praise God.
Thank you.
All
Thank
right.
you tonight.
Okay.
Amen. Well. Thank you, everybody, for being on tonight. Can you pray for me and my kids, Tanisha Weston? Hallelujah. We pray for Sister Tanisha, Taisha tonight, God. Taisha. We ask, oh God, that whatever she stands in need of, oh God, that you would deliver right now in the name of Jesus. That you would watch over and protect her and her family, God, and her children, God. We ask that you would continue to provide all of their need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We ask, God, that you would continue, oh God, to do whatever that she needs for you to do in her life, oh God.
Thank you, God.
And we thank you today, God, for her life. We thank you for her witness. We thank you, oh God, that you're making all things well in her life. And we love you, God. We thank you. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining Bible study.
Be blessed.
Blessings.
Take care.